Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Now, those of you that were here when I was here last year, I think you know that I'm a little bit of a passionate, excited preacher, right? Amen. Act like you know. It is a blessing and an honor to be here again and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you guys here at CIU. I am excited, and I don't know why today. I had an extremely bad case of nerves getting up. I was okay when I was asked a couple weeks ago to come and share, and I was okay studying all last week, and I was okay putting the outline together. I was okay last night. Yesterday, flew my wife to Florida, meeting her on Friday, so we fly to Israel on Saturday. And I was okay until this morning when I got up to leave home to come here and locked my house keys and my flash drive in the house. But I'm still okay. And so it's exciting to be here at this time when you guys are celebrating. And you guys, you know, this is the time of the year every year where we take time to celebrate, amen, what we call Black History or African American History Month. And it's interesting because when we look at the scriptures, when we consider what God has done throughout the history or the time period in which we live, much has transpired. And so to Dr. Smith and to this great faculty and to all you students and staff, I'm honored to be here again. I moved from Detroit, as you guys may have remembered from last year. I said I was moving to South Carolina, so I moved to Sumter, South Carolina. And I'm now serving as a strategist with the Santee Baptist Association with our South Carolina Baptist Convention, working in church planting and growth, church development. And now even has started in Sumter, a collegiate collaborative with USC Sumter and with Central Carolina and Morris College, where we are creating a safe and fun and faithful, effective place for college students that we call it Urgency. It's an urgency initiative, collaborative initiative that I just believe that we need to be doing something right now for the kingdom and the community, amen? And so in moving to Sumter, I found out there was not a lot going on for college students, especially in Sumter. And so God blessed us to start that initiative that we might be able to encourage, empower, and engage college students and young adults and begin to invest in you guys. And so you'll get more information. I'll give it to Dr. Rogers. And if you can ever share and hang out with us, we would love to have you. The message today, I'm going to pray and I'm going to preach, comes from the book of Acts in the 10th chapter at the 34th and 35th verses, and then from Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. God, we pray at this time that you will use us, God. Guide us in your word. Let there be more of thee and less of me. Give us, God, information for our heads, inspiration for our hearts, and then implementation for our hands. That, Father, it would not be about us, but God, when we leave here, we would not be the same as we were when we got here. So, Father, we ask now that you hide us behind your cross, that there would be more of thee and less of me. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and my Savior, God, I say amen. From Acts chapter number 10, verses 34 and 35, from the Christian Standard Bible, it says, Peter began to speak, now I truly understand that God doesn't show favoritism. But in every nation, the person who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Over in Galatians, the third chapter at the 28th verse, he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to just understand, I might get a little excited because I love preaching the gospel. And so I want to go on with this theme of unity, joy, rejoicing, and unification. I want to talk about unity. And so the subject I want to use today is just the three words, we are one. We are one. But I just want to be really honest with you. I'm known to be kind of a radical. If we could be brutally honest, we are struggling to get there. Yeah, but it's an honor to be here again to share the gospel as we take time to celebrate African American History Month. But I can't help but think about the awesomeness of this time and how it commemorates the rich heritage and legacy of so many African Americans. And it allows us also, though, let me say, to remember the place from which our nation has found itself rising from. You remember from the ashes of slavery and segregation, from the deplorable roots of despair and dysfunction and even death. But now with the blessing of being able to celebrate diversity and unity as a part of God's divine act of desegregation. I don't know if you get that. I'm not just talking about human rights desegregation. I'm talking about the fact that we had been challenged and charged because when he said in Romans 3 and 23 that all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and then he goes on to say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. God set us free. And so as a nation, we have fought through many things, and yet none of the history that we have had in our country can come or has come to a surprise to God. As a matter of fact, I believe it's safe to even deduce from Scripture that God had it all in his plan. Even in Acts 17, 26, he says, from one man he has made every nation of men to live all over the earth and has determined their appointed times and the boundaries where they live. God set it in place. He knew it was going to happen. But what was it all for? Are we one? And so as God's children today, there is no respect of persons with God. The reality is that we have yet to find a way of to anthropomorphically cross the divide that we have found ourselves in this nation, in our country, and in our world. It comes to no surprise to God, though. We must know that it seems that the lines have been blurred and we are forced to become a part of this reality, this politically, racially intense climate, whether we like it or not. Now, let me just tell you, you can be just a good Christian and hide your head in the sand if you want to. You can put on your blinders if you want to and go on as if everything is just okay and not being tested and you're not being challenged. But I need you to understand that in the volatile climate of today's society, in this fragmented national and international agenda, it's created an environment that will make some of us literally sick if you're not careful. One of the things we find in the culture today, this culture that we live in, is that within Christianity are saying that the church really has no place in social justice. Some are saying that the church has no place in dealing with or supporting racial reconciliation or social justice, racial reconciliation. I want to just let you know, today have been called bad bedfellows of the church. But I want to provide assurance that God has always spoken, that the church must stay focused on what he has spoken. God in his word has made our position clear as his church. And as the church, we must remember who we are and whose we are. Many Christians are weary of participating in social justice initiatives because of the deep-rooted fear that we have of being labeled liberal or progressive or secular. Not wanting to be associated with a secular movement, and we're very uncomfortable delving into issues that go beyond our cultural comfort zone. You know about spiritually safe sanctuaries, and we retreat into what we see as reliable refuge of religion when we go into those places. It seems that whenever there is a social movement that arises, we are forced to choose sides or risk being taken wrongly, ostracized, and put away by one side or the other. The reality is that if we are in Christ, yes, we are one. It doesn't matter what class, color, or culture we come from. In Christ, we are. Come on, you can help me out a little. And so let me translate that. If, or should I translate it as since, for as much as we are one, my problem is your problem, and your problem is my problem. Because, don't be afraid to say it. I went over to the book of Romans in chapter number 15 at verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, now we who are strong have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not to please ourselves. Oh my. So two things I want us to take away right here before we get to the three quick points is I want you to understand, number one, we must be cautious of being insensitive to those who have real concerns by applying our own reasoning to their situations. And the next thing I want you to understand is that when someone is hurting, lost, depraved, deprived, deceived, and do not understand the things of God and the way that the culture or class should be operating, we must not impose our voice with an alternate opinion to diminish their reality. Because there is a reality other than our own reality. And so we find ourselves in a time when we say stuff like Black Lives Matter or Me Too. And it's not saying that other lives don't matter. It's simply vocalizing an inherent pain and oppression of a people who have a need to be relieved, who need to have their issues addressed. If we're going to be one, then let me encourage you today that the kingdom community that we are in, we must stand as one. That we ought to be able to make the declaration that God in His Word is a God of social, emotional, racial, and spiritual justice. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that Jesus cared deeply about the social causes around Him. He didn't just say all lives matter. He said Samaritan lives matter. He didn't just say all lives matter. He said children's lives matter. He didn't just say all lives matter. He said Gentiles' lives matter. He said what? Lepers' lives matter and women's lives matter. And so Jesus, on His journey, took time to intentionally help specific groups of people. The alienated, the mistreated, those who are facing injustice. We are instructed in the Word of God from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My brothers, hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ without showing favoritism. For suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring, dressed in fine clothes, and a poor man dressed in dirty clothes comes in also. If you look with favor on the man wearing the fine clothes, so that you say, sit here in a good place. And yet you say to the poor man, stand over there, or sit here on the floor by my footstool. Haven't you discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Jesus loves everyone, even to the point of dying for their sins. So saying Black Lives Matter or Me Too really does not hurt. It just takes humility to understand that someone is going through something. So we must be willing to admit and address the complex realities within our world that create such problems. That's what the church is called for. Somebody can say amen. Amen. I know we want to be comfortable. We want to sit back and hang a halo over everything. But the reality is that we are called to help those who are hurting and in pain, avoid the spiritual laziness, and we have to find ourselves not being apathetic, but call them into account by sharing the gospel with them. And you can if you're not willing to fulfill Acts 1 and 8, for we are called, we are empowered to go to the least, the last, and the lost, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's all one message. So if we're going to be one, yeah, we know that the depraved nature of sin came upon those who, when Psalms 51 says we were born in sin and shaped in it. We know the problem. We know that they're sin. They tore it from the floor up. Broke, busted, and disgusted. If I was in Detroit, I'd say that. But the reality is, the Apostle Paul said, we know that sin abounds. And where sin abounds, what does he say in Romans 5 and 20? Grace much more abounds. But the reality for us today is we are to let our light so shine among men that they might see our good works and glorify our Father which are in heaven. Yeah. So we are grace multipliers. collaborators or co-laborers with God. We work alongside him, speaking truth to power and applying the principles of God's unmerited favor in even unfavorable situations. Dr. King said, injustice anywhere is what? A threat to justice everywhere. So we as Christians do a disservice to the gospel message by removing the cultural context from Jesus' ministry, by watering down his message to a microcosm of religious platitudes, as if he was just a motivational speaker. Through the New Testament, Jesus was more complex than we give him credit for. He powerfully and purposely and passionately addressed very specific causes as he went his way. He radically addressed the diverse and complicated conflicts of the time, and he shattered the status quo. He was willing to risk religion. Jesus wasn't only preaching a universal salvific message for the world, but he was also addressing specific political, social, racial issues. He was helping those who were being abused, violated, and oppressed. That's why the New Testament spends so much time detailing that worth of the Gentiles, the slaves, and the women. These countercultural instructions to believers were radically progressive in the New Testament. If we're going to be one, church. If we're really going to be one. The gospel writers were inspired to take time to put those things in the Holy Writ. They should matter to us. So while God does love everyone, and all believers are united in Christ, it does not negate the fact that we have a unique cultural identity. Yeah. Woo! I'm gonna tell you, I didn't appreciate it until I hung out with some Hispanic brothers at the same time I was with some Jamaican brothers. And I was going with my American dialect between Hispanic and Jamaican. And I walked away speaking Hispacan. But I loved it because I was able to bathe in the cultural passion that they have for where they come from and who they are. And so Luke 6 and 31, he says in the Christian Standard, just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. And so let me just help you. I'm getting to the last 3 points of the message. By becoming active and participating in social justice movements, addressing racism, immigration, gender equality, litany of other issues, you're following in the steps of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. What? And let me help you, because some want us to believe, some great thinkers want us to believe, that it's not a matter of being able to share the gospel. But really, the matter is that we are not pitting social causes against the gospel message of Christ. Yes. It's a matter of realizing that these are actually an important part of the gospel of Christ. Yes. Oh, is that what Jesus was doing? So let me give you 3 quick points. I hate that I didn't bring my flash drive, but if you're quick, write them down, or I'll email them to Dr. Rogers. Number one, listen. How do you listen? With the E-A-R, the ear. So exercise awareness and recognition. Exercise awareness and recognition. We must be aware that the playing field is not level for everybody. We must look into the hearts of those who are seeking relief. Number two, lip. Learn with interest and purpose. Wow. Immerse your mind. Learn to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Right. Postpone your own preconceived opinions about others. Get a little risky. And that's my last point. Risk real, relevant, and radical relationships. It's okay to hurt and be hurt. I don't know if y'all know that. But you grow from tough situations. Share space with people that are not like you. Allow God to challenge your acceptance of other people's cultures, dialects, and yes, even their dysfunction. Because the reality for us today, my dear beloved, is that we won't be one until we're able to hold hand in hand, no matter what color, what culture, what class you come from, until we can lift up our voices to the Most High God and look out in the world and go and challenge and charge it together with the gospel and do what Jesus told us to do. We can't rejoice. We're just having little secret praise parties. Kingdom rejoicing is when all nations and all colors and all creeds will come together. That's when you're rejoicing. It's not unification when y'all still over there and we're still over here. And so all that means is that we have to be incarnational and intentional. So if we're intentionally incarnational, that means that we do what Jesus did. The Bible says that he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of the cross, the form of a servant, and went to the cross at Calvary, died for the sins of the world, was lifted up high and stretched out wide, and took time while he was dying to talk to thieves and murderers. And share with those who are willing to accept him as their savior. For the one who was hanging next to him said, if it be so, if you are who you say you are, save yourself and us. But the other one looked across and said, man, be quiet. Lord, just remember me when you enter into your kingdom. If you ever heard the gospel preached, you know that it is powerful and it is sure. That Jesus went out the Via Della Rosa Road, went to the place of the skull called Calvary, was hung up high and stretched out wide, was pierced in his side, had a crown of 72 thorns pressed into his skull, and his sweat was as drips of blood, and he didn't just bleed for his own kind. Wow. Come on. He bled that none would be lost. So church, we need to quit playing church. The reality for us today, I mean, you're saved, aren't you? Amen. Anybody here not saved? Anybody here saved? Okay, wait. Is anybody here saved? Yes. Let me get a few more hands. Is anybody here saved? Yes. Preacher used to tell me, if you're proud about it, you ought to let somebody know. The reality is, if we're saved today, if in the Greek sense, therefore, as much as we are saved, we ought to be letting our light so shine. We ought to be making intentional opportunities to hang out with the people in the calf that don't look like us. We got to make intentional opportunities to stop with the people that we used to go, ooh, no way. For the Bible says, such as were some of you. I love y'all, man. And I don't think it's fair just to come and just find something to talk about. I wanted something relevant. And God told me to do it. I love you. Continue to work so that we can one day join together as the kingdom of God. And he could say, well done. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray, God, that you will keep us, touch us, and bless us. Continue to break down the walls of division that we might be able to rejoice in unification. Because, God, we truly are one covered by the blood of your Son who died for us. But now we pray, oh, God, that you will, God, continue to challenge our hearts that we might recognize, oh, Father, that it is you alone and not about us. Father, we thank you now. We pray this. Continue to uphold and undergird Dr. Smith and this great institution. It is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.